don't think you've got it all. And be desirous of more. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me. And then be ready to hear whatever, even though you've heard it before, to hear it the first time and believe. If you could hear something, every time we hear something as it was the first time, faith comes. It's when we hear things as though we've already heard them that there's no faith to come. Does that make sense? So the expectancy of, oh, wow, this means that. Once this means that, then that is what it becomes. And faith comes. So faith comes. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I just believe he wants us to talk about him because he's huge. He's right now wants to magnify Jesus. That's his job. And we want Jesus magnified. We're endeavoring to know him in a fresh way. So therefore, the Holy Spirit, we need you to do that. So let's read in Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Big question. Kind of a bad idea that we can't actually get caught up in our own weird thinkings that shift take us away from the clarity that Jesus Christ was crucified, which is the door that opens us, whole relationship. So then he asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Rhetorical question, right? We receive the Holy Spirit because of why? Faith. We heard. Something we heard, we believed. Holy Spirit's the biggest promise the Father's given. It's the biggest promise Jesus spoke about. The biggest promise Jesus spoke about was the Holy Spirit. This is the promise of the Father. So when we hear about the Holy Spirit, he is the best gift next to Jesus. Or he is the greatest gift because of Jesus. Okay, help me. All right, I know it's right before a conference. It's a long day. Help me out. So when we hear with faith, we receive the Holy Spirit. Are you so foolish then? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So we have a propensity, which is why I asked for the help tonight, that we actually get a jump start. We get this strength, power, movement by the Holy Spirit. And then somewhere we kind of shift over to that we're the resource to do what we're set out to do. And that's where we bog down because we get into the flesh. So he then says, so do you start in the Spirit but try to get it all finished by the flesh? No. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it is in vain, which means the stigma of believing in Jesus Christ, following God with the Holy Spirit, brings about its own repercussions, struggles, distresses. Why would we want to step out of that just for nothing? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So therefore, those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Go back to verse 5, please. So, for me, the supply of the Holy Spirit is something which I am desirous of a whole lot more. How many would like more Holy Spirit? A bigger, larger supply. Okay, so the supply of the Spirit and the working of miracles, that's the dunamis, that's the power. You shall receive miracle, same Greek word, miracles, power. You shall see dunamis among you, the Spirit and dunamis. Does he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? So the works of the law, the effort I do to try to abide, to practice the things I'm being told to do, to live the life that I know I should live, to learn the disciplines that I'm trying to learn, does that bring more Holy Spirit? No. It's a good thing to do, and especially if we're trying to get a skill. Learning scales on an instrument, does that itself make you a better, bring music? No, but it's a skill that's going to help you in the music that you're going to bring. But it isn't the music. It's just the works of the law does not bring the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's the hearing of faith. So the Holy Spirit is just uniquely present when faith is here, when we're hearing faith. And faith we hear in the Word, faith we hear in promise, faith we hear in the voice of God, faith we hear in our encounters with the Lord. Let me show you this one scripture. Let me share. One time many years ago, I shared that scripture and I said, if we gather together, we should anticipate a supply of the Holy Spirit and a work of miracles among us. Is it right? So we should anticipate. Let's just do that tonight. Let's anticipate before we say amen, good night, see you home, let's go home, that we will each individually and corporately experience a new supply, a fresh supply of Holy Spirit and power. Yes, let's just expect it. Because he can do it because we hear it and hear that that's how he comes. And I just was sharing that. And two people got healed. Amen. They just got healed because they go, well, yeah, okay, the Holy Spirit's coming and he's going to do miracles. And they got healed. Just because we shifted from the doing it a certain way to get certain approval, to get to a certain place, to get to a certain thing, as though it was about us. It was just about hearing that God would do and does do, and when he comes, because the mindset, he's using that as a rhetorical question. You know, when you guys get together, you're used to the Holy Spirit coming and miracles happening. Does he do that because of the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And so it's just helping shift, because they were going from spirit to flesh. So let's go to Philippians now, chapter 1. Verse 12. This, I believe, is, again, helped me a lot. And then we'll start explaining or expanding on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But Paul's speaking again. But I want you to know, brethren, this is kind of one of his last letters, if not the last. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I think that would be a good confession for every one of us in this house tonight. To be able to say to those who know you, to those you love, to the life, those who've watched you walk through the life you've lived, to be able to say, I want you to know this, that the things that have happened to me have actually happened to the furtherance of the gospel. And he's not about talking about the great things now. He's about to talk about the difficulty he's just been through. But what would happen if you and I, by faith, begin to say, the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel? Would God stop and say, wait a minute, the things that happened to you are because you're stupid. So I'm not letting the gospel go anywhere with you. Well, if that's the case, then let's just say, thank you, Jesus, for getting us in, but teach us the law so we can stay here. See, do you understand that's ludicrous? But yet we live that way. We disqualify 7/8 of our life as being viable in the kingdom expansion because we know that there is connected to bad decisions, bad choices, bad situations. So then we just kind of take chunks of our life and say, well, that was that. I wish it wasn't. Instead of going, you know what? Everything that's happening to me is causing the furtherance of the gospel. See, Paul had the unique capacity to take anything and turn it into Christ. You guys are just either super quiet or you're thinking hard. He could go into prison and all of a sudden he became a prisoner for Christ instead of a prisoner of Rome or prisoner of the religious system. He never let what was holding him hold him. He always caused it to come under Christ. Do you understand? It's huge. And he was saying, this is actually changed. Goes on, explains, it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. So here he is in Rome and everyone's beginning to know. This is totally God that sent him here. This is totally God that has him in this capacity. This is totally God. And he's saving, he's just changing where he is because he knows he's in Christ. That's a power, that's faith, then now the power of the Holy Spirit starts to make the difference. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident. Now he's going beyond himself by my chains and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Because if the chains that Paul got put into, the circumstances Paul has found himself in, has not stopped the gospel from having expression and joy and delight. In other words, Paul is so attractive in Christ that people that are guarding him are wanting to get saved. Do you understand that? You and I can be so attractive in our life that our captors want to have the liberty that we carry in the captivity they've imposed on us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Your boss wants to know you, the one you serve, because who in your service you are walking in something they don't have. So he's not sitting there going, please get me out of here. Please get me out of here. I beg you. Send a petition. Get it. He's living independent of the circumstances because he's totally dependent upon Christ. And he's confidently pushing all that he's in under Christ instead of letting it overtake him. So then he goes on and says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. So there, every one of us start with extra motives. I've never met somebody who doesn't get a hold of Jesus and try to make Jesus work for them. I do not know of a person. I do not believe it's possible because you have to start from where you are and you have to interpret what you're being sent, shown by the Spirit with a natural resource. You will think according to flesh. You will think according to man. You will think that this could really be an advantage to the blah, blah, blah. But he says, that's cool. Some do it from goodwill. Some have gone to the place where they're actually sincere in doing what they're doing out of goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition. That's why it's not sincerely. They're working an angle. They're trying to make a buck. They're trying to peddle a plan. But they even think that they're going to add afflictions to my chain. So there's a different, whatever. Their motives, they're trying to hurt me. I don't care. The latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed to the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice and will rejoice. Can you imagine having that disposition about people abusing you, misusing you, taking advantage of you? Because, again, Paul had this uncanny capacity to shift his identity into Christ instead of this stuff. So this is the verse I wanted to get to. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Holy Spirit, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation. So you have prayer and the Holy Spirit that link themselves to the earnest expectation and hope, faith and hope, that in it nothing I shall be ashamed. That's Paul's bottom line confidence. No matter what I go through, no matter how it happens to me at the end, I will not be ashamed. What if we could just say that about whatever we're going to face tomorrow? At the end of this, I won't be ashamed. At the end of this journey, I will come out inside of glory, not shame. But with all boldness, as always, now in Christ, will be magnified in my body, whether life or death, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So let's go back to verse 19. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance, whatever. People preaching sincerely, people preaching with pretense, people preaching out of their ambitions, or people preaching out of love. The palace guard, the captivity, the prison, the chains. I know it's all going to turn out for my deliverance. Wow. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare that over everyone in this room, that everything you are in is going to turn out for your deliverance. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, everything will come under the expectation and earnest hope that you won't be ashamed. You will not end up at the end of your journey in this recent season and somebody look at you and go, you are stupid, and you'll think, I was. They will look at you and go, how in the world did you get where you are? And you'll know that goodness, that glory, that help was God. and you will give God the praise. And you'll say, I am no better than you or more smarter than you. It was Jesus. It is what he has accomplished, and he has overran this circumstance that was set against me. I declare that over you. You hear it with faith. Holy Spirit comes now to make power, demonstrate it in your life. That's how it works. We're reaching truth. But he says, I know it's going to happen because you're praying and the Spirit's being supplied. So I was really, really young, about, you know, in my 20s when I first had the Holy Spirit ask me this question. He said, how is your supply? I thought, that's an interesting word, supply. Then he gave me a picture of a gas gauge on a car. Now, you and I have learned to trust the gas gauge, or at least give it some respect. Because if you don't, it'll get you. Right? You know how far you can go when the red light goes on, how close to the E you can go. But if you, when it gets empty, you know, I got to go get to a gas station and fill it up. So the gauge lets you know your supply. So the Holy Spirit said to me, how's your supply? And at first I thought, well, I don't know. I didn't know I could know. And then I realized, well, I must be able to have some sense of being full or being empty. Put it another way. Have you ever been living life in Christ and it's just getting super hard? Like scraping the barrel, you know, just trying to get that last bit of peanut butter out of the jar. Urgh. It's just, there's nothing flowing, nothing, just, that's, your supply is really small. And when your supply is small of Holy Spirit, where will you resource? To your flesh, right? You can't, if there's no Holy Spirit, you got to go to you. Because you, the thing is pressing and demanding a response. So you respond to the day. You get up. You try to fix the problem. You go in and try to solve the relationship issue. And we've all have we ever had great success with the flesh? No, we've gone, wish I'd never, but I did. But the Holy Spirit, he's a whole different dynamic when he's in big supply. He makes us think differently, feel differently, respond differently. So the supply of the Spirit is where the power is, where the miracles is. It's where the deliverance is. It's where God begins to find a place of expression. So go with me to Ephesians. Kind of going backwards from the way I thought I would do this. Ephesians 5. Notice that there's another thing I learned in that verse, in verse 19, Philippians, is that somehow prayer and the Holy Spirit were intrinsically linked. You pray, Holy Spirit comes. You spend time in prayer, Holy Spirit comes. That's one thing you can know will come with prayer. You pray, you behold Jesus, Holy Spirit comes. He just is in that, comes into that discipline because it's submission. It's stepping out of what you could be doing, trying as best you can to step into what Jesus has done. And Holy Spirit is just all over it. He's just like, hey, let me help you. I know how this works. Let me make this work for you. He's like having an all-star batter stand and hit the ball for you while you're standing at the plate. He just can do what you can't do, and he wants to. So Ephesians 5, verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Stir yourself up. Move out of your slumber. You know, when we are despondent, depressed, frustrated, angry, offended, Cammie and I have, for this last year, kind of settled a lot of those subtleties of struggles which you could spend months in your own personal justified funk, to basically, when you're in a bad place, there's basically one thing to do: kiss the sun. Yeah. Go find Jesus and give him a kiss. Surrender your life back to Christ there, because you're going to be where you are for a long time until you kiss the sun. Yeah. It's submission. If you're in prison, you can be complaining to Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they don't really care. Because they probably put you there. And if you'll just let Christ be the prison guard, then the Holy Spirit will begin to be the resource and the gospel will begin to go forward again. So one of the things we say when we're going, wow, I feel stuck. There's too many things that need to be resolved. I just have come to, no, I need to kiss the Son. I need to go back into a surrendered, submitted posture to Jesus in this place. Submit to God. Then I can resist the devil. I'm too busy resisting the devil that I can't submit to God. So awake, rise from dead, Christ will give you light. So then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So there is a different thing flooding into our life, not necessarily will the day present itself wonderful. It'll come with an evil intent because it's just in a corrupted world. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then it begins to list these little simple things we can do. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Just kind of, you just kind of go all over the place. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Funny that God always wants to refer to the Holy Spirit as getting drunk. Or people look at you're filled with the Holy Spirit and think you're drunk. So that means that the Holy Spirit should make you happy. Give you a different disposition, give you a different sense of the day, give you a different confidence, make you bold, have a sense of assurance, awareness. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you cannot be commanded to do something as a kind of a command, kind command as that is. Hey, be filled with the Holy Spirit if you can't. Right? Yeah. Do you understand? If you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit, it would be unfair for Jesus to say, or Paul say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's telling us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, therefore we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So full is a measurement of supply. Empty of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. Bible says in Jude that they are devoid of the Spirit, fleshly. So we be full of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, here's some of the things you will do, and here's some things you can do. I think when you do the things full of the Holy Spirit fills you. And when the Holy Spirit fills you, you do these things. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the things the Holy Spirit will do is he gets the song again, singing. He gets you singing. No matter what you think your voice sounds like, sing. Just let the song rise in your heart. Let the victory. Have you ever been in a situation and you're trying to find God, how do I go through, and all of a sudden a phrase from a song comes back up? That's the Holy Spirit. He's a singer. He's a singer. And if you will just kind of, but it's a choice now. Do I just kind of go, nah, that's not going to help? Or I feel too bad to sing that song? Or do I step into the song? And if I will just let it have a place, begin to hum it, begin to sing it to whatever degree I'm willing, that song will start to frame everything. And the Holy Spirit will start coming in behind the sound, behind the melody, behind the spiritual songs. Here's the next thing. Huge. Giving thanks for all things to God. Giving thanks for everything that you enjoy and appreciate. No. For all things. Everything. For these chains. For this incarceration that I found myself in, this prison, this rejection, this person not understanding me, this delay, thank him. Thank him. Thank God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine? You see, one of the reasons I know personally for the Holy Spirit, where I'm not just going, whoo, I'm soaring, is because I get ungrateful. I get frustrated with my lot. I feel it's an unjust hand that I was dealt. I need to change these things and then we can start right. And I have found, and if you're willing to try, I think you'll find it to be true. If you thank God for what you dislike the most, you'll soon like it more than anything else, because you'll find Christ there, greater than you ever found him anywhere else. If you can thank God for where you are, you'll soon find God where you are. If you thank God where you are, you'll still get full of God. God will start to fill you, because thanksgiving is this so much of who God is, and so much in the sovereignty of God. Full of the Holy Spirit, start singing, start becoming thankful, submit to one another in fear of God. There's your next battle. Usually if you're in a funk, you're fighting with somebody. You may not be fighting with them verbally. At least those are clean fights. You're fighting with them in your mind. How many people do you carry with you through the day? How many conversations do you have inside? You know, how many conversations are you having with somebody? I wish, and I would have said this, I should have said, just stop it. It's a waste of time. It's ruining your life. It's taking away time, precious time. And then what if you go back to those, you know, what if you put it back 10 years from now? That one event, oh, and you relive that event, Don't do it. Just submit. This is where I am. This is how it went. Can't undo it. Don't need to undo it. Jesus, do it. Take over. Get in here. I don't know what to do. I don't need to do anything. I made a mess. Fix it up. Just because, you see, everything that's taking the Holy Spirit out of us is when we start trying to do what the Holy Spirit only can do for us. So every time we go into fleshly response, got to fix this, got to resolve this, got to make that phone call. I'm going to have to step in. This is now getting really bad. Somebody's got to tell somebody the truth. Pick up the phone, make the call. You know that never works. You know that never helps anybody. It just cements the offense even further apart. But if we kind of go into the Spirit and say, Lord, I just give me a vision for the way you are going to bring everyone into unity. Let me just give you thanks for this disruption that's gotten so huge, so big, that you could feel the tension in everybody's words. Whoa, wow, this is going to be awesome. It's shifting ourselves from what we could see the outcome naturally to what the Holy Spirit could bring supernaturally because of Jesus Christ. But it's a practice. Okay, come with me to Jude. We're just going to keep building into a refilling, a new filling. Jude, and I'm going to go to verse 20. Jude 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Build you, beloved. And so, again, to take responsibility for our supply means that we can then be empowered to do things that we didn't think we could do anymore. Right? Could you imagine sitting at the side of the road for 3 days, camping, crying, stinking, and it's all because you ran out of gas? And somebody pulls over and says, what are you doing? I ran out of gas. I just can't get it. The car won't move. Nothing happened. Well, have you thought about getting more? I just don't know how. It's just too hard to push the car. Well, have you thought about calling a tow truck? I don't know how to do that. Well, how about you want to walk to the gas station? Oh, that's too far. So what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm just going to sit here until the car starts moving again. We would think that's stupid. That's just, it won't work. You got to get gas in there. The gas in there, the car will go again. It'll just go perfectly. So your problem isn't that the car won't move. The problem is you have no gas. So get the gas, and then the car will move. So that's what I find when I'm in the flesh, that it's not that I'm in the flesh that's my problem. It's I'm out of the Spirit. I ran out of Holy Spirit, so I'm now pushing the car. So, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of Christ, God, looking for the mercy of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. So there's the ability to be in mercy, grace, have a good outlook, have a positive, expectant attitude, all's inside Holy Spirit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14. This is actually a much better order than I had thought of. This is like genius, Holy Spirit. First Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love. I did say first. I'm sorry. I might have said second in the beginning. I could have said Ephesians too. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So before you get stuck on the who can you speak in tongues in a public assembly, let's just take a moment and see what happens when we speak in other tongues. When we speak in a tongue, we speak to God, not to men. In the prayer language that you have in the Holy Spirit, we can begin to talk to God. And when we begin to talk to God, maybe no one else understands us, and maybe not only do we not understand us, because we're speaking into the mysteries that are yet to be unfolded. But if we prophesy, we're doing something that's opening the door to encourage, edify, exhort, and comfort men. So that's valuable. Verse 4, please. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. The word edify is the word build. It's the same word to build on the foundation of Jesus, same word of what we build. It's to build. It's to begin to fill up or erect, to arise up. So when we speak in other tongues, we build ourselves up. So if there's no way you can get a hold of the Holy Spirit and get the word and begin to agree with what the word says and give some praise and become thankful of your circumstances, or even as you're trying to do it, fill it with the other tongues too. Use tongues. Speak in other tongues. Tongues. Other tongues. One, not the one you know. Your English runs out. Your mother language doesn't work. All you have is cursing. Speak in tongues. Let the sound of your voice speak in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit start to talk. And do it intentionally, and you will find that you start to build yourself up. Prophecy does the same for the church because it's in the language we all understand, so we can make a declaration that's now calling people to a faith. It's releasing faith. I wish we all spoke with tongues, but even more that we prophesied. Now, jump down to verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. So praying with the Spirit can be tongues, and it can be intelligible language, but you can feel that it's the Spirit giving you that prayer. Does that make sense? Right? We've all prayed prayers that we're going, this prayer is so boring, I'm sure God's not in it. It's just rope, it's sawdust. And then there's other times you pray a prayer and you go, whoa, I never had that idea. I never got that petition. And all of a sudden it's a Holy Spirit prayer. Praying in tongues. My children used to accuse me that I prayed in tongues instead of cursed. And for all I know, I did. I don't know. But at least I wasn't using my understanding. And at the same time, I can be and maybe I'm speaking in tongues. Maybe I'm not. Doesn't really matter. But there are those times when you start where you are, and as soon you get into a groove,
salabute bisibukumbaka tama buramatele bisutelaba. It can be fast, it can be slow, it can have an accent, but there's life coming. There's power coming. There's a sense of edifying, a courage. You're getting built up. Gas is filling in your tank. Gas is coming. Faith comes, Holy Spirit comes. Praying in tongues comes, Holy Spirit comes. It builds up faith. And all of a sudden, we're doing it. We're praying in the Spirit. We're praying with understanding. We're singing with their Spirit. We're singing with their understanding. We're using both and. Both and. Okay, so we're almost done. Let me take you... Okay, don't leave me here, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Well, pray with me for a minute. Lord, we just open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, to close our last few minutes, that you could fill us with yourself and your might and your power. Why don't we pray in tongues for a moment? Kitara mondo rebebo babarebe baba ba. Urebe rababa ba bundarebe bobo. Oh, there, baba ba ba de toko boko toko toko. Birba ba ba shibuku. Tabede botura ba 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 ba. Urebe ba ba ba. Okay, two things that came back. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Number one, in Acts chapter, I think it's about 16, don't quote me on that, but Paul is talking to these Ephesus believers, and he asks them this question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they say, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And he says, well, what were you baptized into? Well, to John's baptism. So then he preaches Christ, gets them baptized, and they come up speaking in other tongues and prophesying. So sometimes... the ignorance, which would be the opposite of the hearing, causes us to be not accessing the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit that could become so much the source of life, deliverance, victory, whatever it is we need. So lastly, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes and everyone's filled and everyone's speaking out in other languages and everyone's starting to think they're drunk, he goes to Joel and he says, this is what the prophet Joel, Acts chapter 2, I'll tell you verse 14. Acts chapter 2, 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice, said, men, these men of Judea, they dwell in Jerusalem. Let it be known to you, hear my words. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour in the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Okay, back up to the verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, so that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So we want to be full. There's the promise that there's going to continue to be an outpouring. And in the outpouring, or in the speaking in tongues, or in the hearing of faith, or in the prayer, once the Holy Spirit starts to help, go with him, because he's going to start bringing prophecy, visions, dreams, tongues. He's going to create another image than the one you're in. If he can create another image, you'll create another set of emotions. He'll create another outcome. He'll change the whole disposition. And what was shutting down your ministry, Paul, we're locking you up till we can find a way to kill you, becomes, wow, this is an awesome time to write books. And this is for the furtherance of the gospel. And God's using it to cause the gospel to go even further and give greater boldness. It's the whole disposition, because he's a prophesier. So what I want to say to you, and we're going to stand up and pray this, is
If the inkling of the Holy Spirit is he starts giving you ideas, he starts giving you a positive declaration, he starts giving you a sense of, hey, it's going to work. You've felt when I said that everything you're in is going to turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. You felt faith come when I decreed to you that you will not be ashamed in anything you're going through. And then you'll come out with the glory of God resting upon you. You felt faith. I proclaim faith. You can do the same thing. We can do that anytime in the day by just shifting from the Spirit's perspective and not our physical perspective. He wants to prophesy. He wants to make a declaration that this is Jesus taking over the situation. Welcome, problem. Here comes Jesus. Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you. We thank you right now. So just lift up your hands like a big cup. Somebody saw the other day when I did this that it was like a big margarita cup. That's okay. I don't care what cup you want. Just let it get full. Holy Spirit, you have been promised by Papa to pour yourself out upon all our flesh. And we ask you right now, come and pour yourself out upon us again and fill us up in every way. Father, you gave the promise. Jesus reminded us. He sent the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. Supply yourself. Overwhelm us in your presence. We decree that what we're in is for the glory of God, that the outcome will be God's glory and not shame against us. We declare that prayer and your supply of Holy Spirit will bring deliverance to us in everything. Hallelujah. We declare you're more than enough. You do miracles. We declare you're a miracle worker, Holy Spirit, as well as a lover, and you pour love in us. Declare it over yourself. You're a miracle worker in my life. You're a powerhouse in my life. You're the supply house of my life. And we declare, Holy Spirit, that you will give us a different vision of what we're in. You will reinterpret for us what we see by what you see. And you will open and you'll speak to us in our dreams tonight. And we will prophesy. We will prophesy. We will prophesy. We'll declare the end in the beginning. Oh, fill me up. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. You're filling us up. By faith, you're filling us up. By faith. Go ahead. Be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Be filled. Filled. Out of the flesh and into the Spirit. Out of ourself and into Christ. Out of our circumstances, into His eternal purpose. Lord, we declare that songs will rise again in our heart. Tomorrow and tonight, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing and make melody in our heart to you, giving thanks for everything. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for life so I can find Christ. Thank you for whatever I'm in so I can find Jesus. Holy Spirit, you make it possible. Lord, you said be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me, fill me, fill me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, just as we close this, turn our attention to Jesus Christ. And just in your own words, however, let's just begin to praise Jesus for what he's accomplished, the victory he's won, the healings he brings, his name, his deliverance. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're the magnifier of Jesus, so we magnify Jesus right now. Jesus Christ, you're more than enough. You are more than enough. You supply all our need, Father, by riches and glory in Christ. The name of Jesus makes us whole and healed and delivered. That whatever we ask in your name, Jesus, the Father does for us. You are everything we'll ever need, Jesus. You're our victory, Christ. You're our overcomer. You're our triumph leader. You're our King. You're Alpha. You're our Omega, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus, for today. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. And Christ is in us. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So whatever we're in is in Christ. Whatever we're going through is going through Christ. Whatever's trying to stop us is stopping us in Christ. We are in Christ. He is the hope of glory in us. He is the victory that is yet to be seen. He has already defeated our enemies. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. So, Lord, we strengthen ourselves now in the Lord. We rise up with Holy Spirit to come strong in the Lord and the power of your might. We receive you, Holy Spirit, according to God's glory, strengthening us with might through the Spirit in our inner man. Now, just pause for a moment, and before we say amen, become aware of the supply of the Holy Spirit now. Is there more of Him? Are you aware of more? Choose to be aware of more by faith. Become aware. Where is He leaning? What's the words He's speaking? What's the imagery He's giving? Because there you want to continue on. We go home, we can stay getting full. We can stay full. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You did not leave us as orphans, Jesus. You sent Holy Spirit so we'd always be present with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you did not leave us clueless, but you're always revealing Jesus to us. You're pointing out what He's doing, what He's saying, how to respond, and how to be. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're a miracle worker in our life. Holy Spirit is a miracle worker in our life, a power source that no one else can resist or stop. Thank you. Thank you for the language of tongues. Thank you for the edifying of us and building us up and prayer and faith and all that. We just ask you now, the last thing, seal what's being done in faith, and that we might revisit and continue into this place. And we declare and decree now that over this weekend in the Clarice, the Victorious Women Conference, there will become such a sound of victory in Christ Jesus, that these 100-plus women will come alive into their fullness of destiny, victory, and triumph. And by the time they gather with the rest of us and we gather with them on Sunday morning, there will be an explosive demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, miracles, signs, and wonders, and for the glory of Christ. We declare this is so, and you're able to do it. We prophesy this now. We prophesy Jubilee in a whole new place, a whole new dimension, every life, every family, every household, coming into a new experience with God and coming out of the old experience with self. Yeah, I want a new experience with God and out of the old experience with myself. I'm coming out of myself and into Christ. And we declare and decree it now over every household, every boy. Starts now. Starts tonight. Starts right now. It's because it started right now in Christ. And it's going to kick in and keep growing and growing and growing until the Word of God will spread and be multiplied and subdue and have dominion in all this region in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.